And how do you document teacher expectation? How do you assess it? Well, how will we know when our students know and fully understand that? And finally, let me just say that this is about the struggle to control, as James Anderson said, the minds and hearts of black school children. And we are cheering on the hunter. While African-American children continue to hear language like this, achievement gap, that implies that they are underachieving or something is wrong, perpetuating a feeling of inferiority on every level. And we have to not only reshape the story, we have to reshape the telling of the story. And let me just add, if you saw, here's a good example of it. Today, just in the front cover of the Wall Street Journal, title of the article, For High Schoolers, Summer is Time to Polish Resumes. How students are now going abroad, paying $5,000 for SAT preparation. How do we expect that our students are going to catch such a, to close such a gap? Thanks.
Good evening. Thank you for our opportunity to participate in this discussion. The preparation of teachers, especially minority teachers, is an essential task that must become a priority of HBCUs if we are to close the achievement gap for poor and minority students. Over 50 years ago, Carter G. Woodson had this statement to make. According to Woodson, we have very few teachers because most of those with whom we are afflicted know nothing about the children whom they teach, mm-hmm. or about their parents who influence the pupils more than the teachers themselves. When a boy comes to school without knowing his lesson, he should be studied instead of being punished. The boy who does well in the beginning of the year and lags behind near the end of the term should not always be censured and punished or ridiculed. As a rule, such children are not responsible for their failures. Their parents and their social status account mainly for those shortcomings. The Negro teacher of all teachers then must treat the disease rather than its symptoms. I cite that because although this is over 50 years ago that Woodson wrote The Miseducation of the Negro, it is very timely and very appropriate for where we are now. I would like to challenge HBCUs tonight to become proactive in preparing highly qualified teachers to work with all children and especially minority children. Sometimes in the inner cities when we're preparing students, it's very difficult to find good models in the cities because teachers are running from those situations. They want to teach someplace else. But I think it is our challenge. In fact, I believe it is our moral obligation to make preparation of teachers at HBCUs a priority. It's in most of our missions, if we look at our mission statements. Historically, that's what we've done. If we don't take this as a serious task, who will? If we don't mentor students and encourage them to become teachers and send them out and they mentor others to learn and want to become teachers, who will? In fact, if we don't prepare counselors who will say to students, you want to be teachers, you want to go to an HBCU, where will they go? If we don't work with them, will we continue to get the talented group that's been mentored by others? And that talented group has many options. So I make that statement to say to us, do we have a choice but to spend some time preparing highly qualified teachers? North Carolina in particular needs 10,000 teachers a year to meet its goal. The public institutions and the private institutions produce about 3,500, and then they hire about 2,500 of those. There's an extreme teacher shortage. I think what we must do as HBCUs, number one, prepare highly qualified individuals to become teachers. Let's offer bridge programs for teachers in the summer. We offer them for other professions. Let's bring youngsters on our campus, get them prepared. And as someone has already said, let's make it a priority by giving them scholarships and encouraging them to become teachers, starting as early as middle school, because children begin to make decisions at that time. Let's make it a priority. Let's work in our community with our parents. Let's form partnerships where we pull together businesses, the local school district, the Urban League, the NAACP, all the organizations to begin to address a serious problem that's in our community. That is training minority teachers. Someone has already indicated African American students can go. American teacher. Then who's the model? I think, again, when we begin to examine that we really do not have students there, we can begin to make a difference. HBCUs need to work collaboratively to help students get through the gateways that present so many difficulties, such as passing the process series. If we work together, I think we could get more students to pass that test successfully. I think the collaboration, the commitment, taking a proactive stance is what we have to do to ensure that every child, especially minority children, every child has a highly qualified teacher, because we know the teacher, after we get rid of socioeconomic status and all those other issues, the teacher is the variable that makes the most difference. Thank you.
Good evening. I'll try to summarize some of this because we're repeating ourselves, it seems, in terms of themes. I want to quote my favorite author, James Baldwin, from his book, Nobody Knows My Name. In his book, Baldwin describes what it's like growing up a child in Harlem. He speaks about not having a political destiny in the hands of the people of Harlem. So he says, Africa and other societies are made to look mysterious, to cover up the mysteries of America. He says, this distortion creates self-loathing and self-delusion. He says, unfortunately, that children who go into the schools come out maimed, blinded, hooked, or enraged for life. This description obviously could be applied to today, even though that book was written in 1954. A college teacher in D.C. Public Schools recently said that she had a student in her class whose face had been marred by being attacked by a pit bull. Another child had been raped. Another child had seen someone murdered firsthand. Recently, I spoke to a 7-year-old who said she didn't expect to live to be 21 because her aunt had been murdered at 15. A conference recently said that when you look at child abuse, you have to understand that all violence is connected, that child abuse leads to domestic violence and leads to other antisocial behavior. Such is the case with achievement gaps. Let's see if we can get this to work. I wanted to show. There we go.
Yeah.
It's right there. Let's start the show. As you see by the data, for every 100 white students, 84 complete high school by age 19, 63 complete at least some college by age 22, 33 earn a bachelor's degree by age 25. Let's see. Got it. This one. Okay. Okay. Of course, 100 Asian American students, 88 complete high school by age 19, 75 complete at least some college by age 22, and 54 earn a bachelor's degree by age 25. We must say, however, that even though Asian Americans outperform, it doesn't translate into jobs in the larger society. So being able to outperform white students doesn't translate into better benefits. For every 100 Hispanic students, 61 complete high school by age 19, 32 complete some college by age 22, and 8 earn a bachelor's degree by age 25. Then when we get to 100 African American students, 68 complete high school by age 19, 44 some college by age 22, and 16 earn a bachelor's degree by age 25. Obviously, that data is disturbing. But let me remind you that not all achievement gaps are created equal. With the No Child Left Behind legislation, the idea is that there's a single standard that's up top, and you must pull everyone up to that standard, rather than looking at it from a "it takes a village to raise a child" perspective that looks at it from the perspective of the children themselves. As a result, we know that this No Child Left Behind legislation has caused some damaging things. We know case after case where they have falsified standardized reports in order to make teachers or principals or schools look better. In places like California, Texas, Delaware, Maryland, Massachusetts, and New York, just to name a few. We also know that test scoring systems have reported wrong scores in New York, Minnesota, and Delaware. Recently, the Educational Testing Service acknowledged that they incorrectly reported scores on the Praxis test for teacher certification. According to a recent poll, only 12% of professors in schools of education feel that a single test is predictive of achievement. They view the total process of learning as more important. We know that there is always an 8% variable on test score results, which is never taken into account. This is the old Arthur Jensen argument from 1968 in the Harvard Educational Review article, "What Can We Boast, Education and IQ?" It's the same old racist arguments with a new political slant that argues it is being done to help these children. It is also no accident that an African-American, Armstrong Williams, was paid to extol the virtues of the program. The National Education Association has the idea of great public schools for every child. We focus on making certain that public schools give all Americans the opportunity to succeed in life. The NEA partnership with the Tom Joyner Foundation will aid teachers and teaching majors at historically black colleges and universities to take charge of the events that will structure education in minority communities. NEA welcomes NAFIO's support in being certain that educational reform is aimed at helping children, not hurting them. There are real achievement gaps, obviously. My own child suffers because she had a teacher who told the children they should meditate rather than teaching them second grade English. A New York Times columnist, Mr. Friedman, has pointed to the fact that Americans lag behind other countries in terms of their educational achievement and that the gap grows as the years of education increases. These issues we want to address, but we want to be certain that the basic standards of quality education are available within the multicultural context that is the real America. Thank you.